Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Today we are going to speak about a very practical and very important aspect of your life, how to make a decision. Joel chapter 3 verse 14 says, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." Now we realize that Joel 3:14 applies doctrinally to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the day of the Lord, and there it's near. So we're in the tribulation going to the second coming. However, this text brings us to the point of this sermon, and that is how to make a decision. I'm asked consistently in the ministry, what do I do about or regarding fill in the blank? And you know, multitudes of Christians find themselves in the valley of decision, and some are careful while they're there to make the right decision. But the trouble is, many Christians miss the right decision because they don't know how to make a decision. So today we're going to talk about how to make a decision. Getting right into it, to make a decision, you must consider all of the following things. Number one, what does the Bible say? Now, you cannot make a right decision in this life without taking into consideration what God has to say specifically about the subject. Now, you won't need to consider anything else in this list if God speaks clearly against the decision you're making. For instance, God is very clear about relationships. He does not want a saved person dating an unsaved person. So if you're dating an unsaved person, hoping to bring him or her to the Lord so that you can then marry or think about marriage, forget it. Quit dating. And if you're really concerned about their soul, just go to work on the person's soul. And if you can't manage your lust or you can't manage your emotions by dealing with their soul and not going out on dates, then let somebody else preach to them. But time and time again, I have had to help people sort out relationships they've gotten themselves involved in, because they don't know where they are, don't know how to get out of them, don't know why they got into them, don't know what to do about it, because one of the persons is saved and the other person's lost. Do you realize that when you're saved, your view, if you're really following the Bible, is a God view, and their view, if they're really lost, is the world view. Those views are absolutely contrary, and you're trying to put them together, and you can't do it. And so many times people say, well, he was good looking, she's good looking, very good personality. We met somewhere, probably somewhere you shouldn't have been. And we started dating, and you know, now you're praying that God will lead this person to the Lord and somehow make it all work out. And you even probably can think of some couple where one of them was lost and the other was saved, and it did work out. But I'm going to say something to you. If you can show me one that worked out, I can show you 100 that didn't. So don't date lost people. And if you are in a relationship like that, back off. Get God in there to deal with the individual and move on. What does the Bible say? Now, I just picked on dating, and to give you an example, there are many major decisions that have to be made, and the Bible has something very specific to say about it. What does the Bible say? And if the Bible has clear instructions against the thing you're trying to decide, back out, go somewhere else. You don't even have to consider the rest of the list. But if the Bible does say some things about the decision you're making that are favorable toward your decision, then you need to keep going down the list, because that's not enough. It's not enough just to know what the Bible says. To make a decision, you must consider not only what the Bible says, but you need to consider what your related counselors say. What do they say? Related counselors are the people to whom you are related, who can give you wise counsel on a matter. These are people like your parents or your spouse, maybe a godly sibling like a brother or a sister. You know, these are the folks that know you the best. Now, they may be afraid to tell you the truth because you're related, or you may have a tendency to scorn their judgment. And if that's the case, you're going to miss the benefit of their counsel. And what they say may actually work against you. In other words, they may lend their support to something you're getting ready to do, but that's because they're not willing to tell you what they really want to say. So related counselors are really good because they know you the best, but there's a risk because they may not want to hurt your feelings, or you may already have some other dynamic working in your relationship where they really can't say what they want to say. For instance, parents who have done battle with their children may give in on a decision you're making, leading you to believe that they approve, when in fact they are adamantly opposed. Trouble is, they just refuse to fight you on it anymore. They've picked their battlegrounds and they say, this is just not a big enough one here to fight. I'll wait till we get over here and fight on that one. Now, if you have that kind of dynamic going on in your relationship, you have cut yourself off from one of the best counselors that you could possibly have, because you've fought them on other things that they've opposed in your life, when really and truly their counsel was in your best interest, and you were just so determined that there was something you were going to do, you ignored their counsel or scorned their judgment. Now you can't really rely on them because they're afraid to tell you the truth. You see? You shouldn't get into a relationship like that with your parents. You ought to back off and learn to value their opinion and their judgment, because they do know more than you do, and they have a vested interest. They love you. Now, to make a decision, you've got to consider what the Bible says. You must consider what your related counselors say, and you've also got to consider what other counselors say. What do your other counselors say? Now, you say, who are other counselors? Well, other counselors are people like your pastor and other concerned people who have a proven record of wise counsel and who speak as the oracles of God. That's what Peter says. And when you speak as the oracles of God. In other words, speak as if God were in the room answering the question for you. Now, these are folks, these other counselors, these are folks that know how to pray when you're speaking. In other words, you're saying, I'm thinking about making this decision. I'm thinking about going to college, or I'm thinking about this major job decision I have here. Okay? They know how to listen to you to discern your heart and pray to God at the same time. Okay? And they know just the right questions to ask before giving counsel. For instance, you might find affirmation on a particular decision you're trying to make in the Bible, and your spouse or your related counselor may agree. But another counselor who is not in your, you know, relationship, who's unaffected really by your decision, is going to be able to give you unbiased counsel. Unbiased counsel. Okay, now, you know what I've seen? I've often seen instances where a person was so determined to decide in accordance with his own will that he actually read things into the Bible that weren't there. And then, after reading these things into the Bible that weren't there, went and persuaded his related counselors, like his parents or a spouse, to go along with him. And what he needed was an outsider who was not affected by his will, who could speak freely and unemotionally about the things he was trying to consider. You need that kind of counselor. You need an unrelated, wise counselor or counselors who who can just say, look, I'm looking at this deal from the outside. I am not emotionally attached or involved in any way with the decision you're making or the outcome of the decision you're making, but I can see something that you can't see in the thick of the decision you're trying to make because you're too closely affected, too closely connected to the outcome of the decision, and I'm not. And let me show you something that you can't see. So other counselors are excellent to have because they're not already in the family dynamic and they're not prone to twist the Bible to force it to say something to give affirmation to a decision that you're trying to make that's really not in your best interest, okay? So what do your other counselors say? People that you can really trust to tell you the truth. What do they say? And you may find that they're gonna go contrary to something that you already want to do because they have a view on this thing from God that isn't affected in any way emotionally and not affected any way based on the outcome. So they are unbiased. All right, now, to make a decision, you've got to consider these things. What does the Bible say? What do your related counselors say? What do your other counselors say? And then this, what does the peace of God say? What does the peace of God say? Now, I believe that the peace of God that passeth all understanding is essential. It's an essential element in making the right decision, and more importantly, in making the right decision at the right time. You know, the Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. All right, right there. That peace of God. It's very important. It's a settling thing that says, you know what? I've brought this before the Lord, and the Lord has given me a peace about the decision that I'm making. For instance, our church knew that building a new building was the right decision. There wasn't any question about that. But we didn't know about the timing of that building. And until we knew the peace of God, we didn't begin. We held off. And then when we did start, the timing could not have been better. And you know why? Because there was an unrest in the congregation about the timing. It just, you just could tell, you know, that God's just not on this yet. Later, when we finally made the decision to go, I mean, boy, the timing was perfect. But let me add this. God's peace, listen carefully. God's peace is not the sole or even the strongest determining factor in making decisions. I have seen more foolish decisions based on this quote, I could feel the peace. I've seen more foolish decisions based on that statement than you can imagine. I could feel the peace. You know, there are a lot of things about feelings that you have to watch out for. And the peace of God is something that when you know it, and somebody says, well, how do you know when you've got the peace of God? When you know it, you don't have to ask. You know. But it's not the sole determining factor. Listen, if the Bible is against it and you feel peace, it's the wrong thing. Your counselors are against it, and yet you feel peace. There's indecision here. You're not ready to act upon the decision. Something's out of whack. By the same token, these things like the Bible and your related and unrelated counselors may be favorable, but you still don't have that peace of God, then you need to consider that. You need to settle. Now, here's the next thing. When making a decision, what does practical wisdom say? What does practical wisdom say? Now listen, Christians are very prone to believe that in spiritual matters, practical wisdom is of no value. Or that it might be actually of contrary value because we're dealing with spiritual matters and practical things, that's a different thing. But let me tell you something. Many times Christians never even consider the practical aspects of decisions they've been praying about. They simply pray, read the Bible, find a verse, and then bang, here we go. But I want to tell you something. Without apology, and let me tell you something very clearly, you must take practical wisdom into consideration. For instance, we have a family in our church going to the mission field. After they were called to go, they were ready to take off right away. But practically speaking, there were at least a dozen practical things that needed to be addressed before they could really go, before they could even think about going. Now, at first, it seemed to them unreasonable to consider these things. I mean, because God said, you're going to go to the mission field. And they're like, okay, then we're going to trust God to take care of it. But in retrospect, now looking back over those things that they have addressed, that practical wisdom that they have considered, they know now that if they hadn't taken that practical wisdom into consideration, they probably would have gotten to the field and then returned, may not have gotten there at all. They're just things that have to work out. They're things that you have to deal with. One man said, these are the matters of common sense. I mean, if what you're trying to decide doesn't make sense, then it doesn't make sense to press the Bible and God and your counselors into the decision to try to make sense out of it. Just forget it. And I'm not talking about not living by faith. I'm talking about you can just obviously see these obstacles and you've got to deal with them. And you've got to address them. And you've got to take care of them. They are important. And they cannot be ignored when making decisions. Practical. What does practical wisdom say? All right, here's another a matter to consider. What does your heart say? I mean, this gets down to the motive now, okay? And you have to remember something. Your heart is deceitful above all things. So why would you follow your heart? Now, I realize that desire is something to consider in making decisions. Paul said, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good thing. But desire is not what puts a man in the ministry. There are a lot of men who attempted the ministry because they had a desire to do it. But that's not God's call. That's not God's direction. That's not the decision. Desire just gets him interested. There still has to be the call. There has to be the preparation. There has to be the enabling. There has to be the trust. There has to be the commitment and all of that other stuff. So just because your heart tells you to do something is no reason to go and do it. As a matter of fact, when your emotions are strong, you need to be really careful because that's the time to discount what your heart is saying or to even ignore what your heart is saying because it's going to lead you astray. Let me ask you a question. How many divorced women today do you think can say about their estranged lover, but I just knew in my heart that he was the one? You know what's happened? Their heart led them astray. They saw and heard things in him that caused them to believe, he loves me, this is the man, we can spend the rest of our lives together. And then practically speaking, he was a loaf, he was a bum, he didn't pay his bills, he'd been in and out of relationships before, you didn't even wait to consider the peace of God. You blew off your other counselors who said, I don't think this is the right guy for you. And you never even looked in the Bible to see what it had to say. You just said, I just love him. I'm going to follow what my heart says. Listen, your heart is the last thing that you want to consider in making a decision. And maybe it may be the one thing that you want to forget altogether because it's deceitful. Now, here's another thing to consider. What do circumstances and convenience say? You say, what are you talking about? I say, well, listen to this. When I was preparing the notes for this broadcast, I actually went to our associate pastor. I said, listen to this list. Is there something that I've left out of the list? And he said, circumstances and convenience. And we got to talking about it. I said, you know what? You are absolutely right. Listen, Christians often look to circumstances like open doors from the Lord. Now, circumstances cannot be ignored, but they can be as much a lead from the devil as they can be from the Lord. As a matter of fact, watch this. The more convenient the path, the more certain most Christians are of the Lord's direction. Listen, the more convenient the path, the more certain most Christians are of the Lord's direction. In other words, they see personal benefits along their paths, which they believe are a confirmation of the Lord's blessings upon their decisions. And they're not an indication of his blessings, they're an indication of his mercy. You've made a bad decision and he's trying to bail you out and keep you from falling completely flat on your face. Now I'm going to tell you something. This method of deciding can be very, very misleading. You know why? The reason is very simple. Many of the right decisions from the Lord are very inconvenient, and the circumstances are very challenging, to say the least. And that's not because you put yourself in that high challenge. For instance, you said, I'm going to relocate with no money. Okay, you've already put yourself in circumstances that were very inconvenient and ignored what practical wisdom said. Practical wisdom said you better go when you've got plenty to live on till you get on your feet, as an example. So listen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, Paul said, a great door and effectual is open to me, and there are many adversaries. Do you understand? So if practical wisdom and the peace of God and other counselors and related counselors and the Bible all lined up and you met some adversaries, they may be an indication that you're in the right thing and that the inconvenience you're suffering is the result of making the right decision. But I'm going to tell you something. If you ignore those other things and you just jumped in there and now you're having trouble, you may be having trouble because you ignored the practical wisdom altogether and you never went based on these other things we've mentioned. Do you understand? Circumstances and convenience, you got to take them into consideration, but you have to be careful. The easy path is not necessarily the right path, and just because it's hard doesn't necessarily mean it's the right path. You got to be careful with that. All right, now here's another thing. To make a decision, you must consider all of these things. What does the Bible say? What do your related counselors say? What do your other counselors say? What does the peace of God say? What does practical wisdom say? What does your heart say? That's to be ignored most of the time. What do circumstances and convenience say? And then this, what does waiting say? You know, like the Bible says, wait on God. What does waiting say? People today are absolutely in too big of a hurry. Slow down. Any decision that's good today will be good tomorrow. I'm not talking about missed opportunities. I'm talking about big decisions like marriage and jobs and homes and relocation and things like that. Now, giving these decisions ample time really helps you sort out the important details and determine for sure that it was God that wanted you to do it and not yourself. For instance, in pre-marriage counseling, I've had to remind couples who were feeling pressured about getting married that they weren't married yet. You have time to change your mind. You have time to deal with these problem areas that we have now discovered in premarriage counseling. And you don't have to live with these problems because you're not married yet. I mean, some people, they get themselves in the dating relationship, then they get engaged and they see these horror things and now they're like stuck in this habit and they're thinking, now I'm going to have to live with this for the rest of my life. No, you don't. Not if you're not married yet. You're still in the waiting period. You have time to sort that out without pressure. And hey, if those things can't be resolved, to just break off the deal. Now, people who have gone through peer marriage counseling and seen these problems and dealt with these problems and come to some reconciliation, their marriages are great. But waiting is what helped them to resolve these things that could have caused irreparable damage later. Because once you're in the pressure cooker, some of these things can be really hard to sort out. So waiting really helped them. As a matter of fact, waiting actually has caused some people not to go forward with their you know, decision to marry, because God wasn't in the decision. And they remained friends. It was a really blessed thing. So listen, waiting. What does waiting say? And waiting generally says, if it's good today, it'll be good tomorrow as well. So take your time. Take your time. Now let's bring all this to a conclusion. This whole message today is on how to make a decision. And if you want to make good decisions, then answer these questions. What does the Bible say? What do your related counselors say, like a spouse or parents? What do your other counselors say, like a pastor or a very wise friend? What does the peace of God say? Has that peace of God settled in and keeping your heart and mind now? What does practical wisdom say? Can you even afford to do what it is you're planning to do yet? Do you need to save up some money? Do you need to get a different job? You know, well, what does your heart say? And be sure that if your heart says one thing, you better check your motive very carefully. It might very well be that you've been deceived by your heart. What do circumstances and convenience say? Because they can be very misleading. You really want to find out that God is opening those doors and not the devil. What does waiting say? In the patience waiting upon God, what is that showing you to do? Now, if you want to make good decisions, answer these questions. Don't act on your decision until you're absolutely sure that all of these things have been considered. Now, if your decision is the right thing to do, then all of these things, all of these questions, and the answers to these questions are going to line up, and they're going to be in perfect balance. And if not, then these questions are going to have different answers, and the answers are going to be disjointed. Well, this says that, and that says this, and he thinks I ought to, and she says I don't, and the Bible this, and God that, and the peace this. And let me tell you, in that case, you either need to decide against what you're planning to do, or you need to wait until everything lines up. Don't force the answers to these questions to line up, because if you force them to line up, you're going to end up making the wrong decision. And let me tell you something. We don't need to be making any more wrong decisions. We need to be making some good decisions, and I pray that you will. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.